All right, look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right. Now, let's kind of share how far we've come. We talk about Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So we've been redeemed from the curse, but it says that he became a curse for us. He became a curse for us. Now, the thing that the enemy tries to do is he tries to distort the picture of the scriptures. He tries to give us a distorted picture. It's a distorted picture of who we are and a distorted picture of who God is. That God is a killer, God would make you sick, God will steal your money, and so forth. And what we have to do with the scriptures is we have to come and displace that which we had been programmed with, because most of us have been. I mean, I know when I was a kid, somebody would tell a lie, and I said, well, I got to get out of the way because God's about to strike you dead. And so the lightning was striking. So, you know, that's what I thought. So I'm just saying it's a lot of things that we believed about God that were not true. But now what we're doing is we're seeking the truth, and we're getting the truth from God's word. Now, it says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, and he was made a curse for us. Now, I want you to see something. I want to bring out a couple of points. Is that he became a curse for us. Now, the picture here is basically to give you a revelation that Jesus took our punishment. Jesus took our punishment. Can I show you that? Turn to Isaiah, please. Back to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Okay. Now, remember, Jesus comes to empower us. Satan comes to enslave us. Okay, two different things. Verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs. Griefs means sickness, weaknesses, and distresses, and diseases. And carried our sorrows. Sorrows means pain, suffering, and punishment. Now let me just stop right there. So he took our diseases, and he carried our pain and punishment. I'm going to cover more of that when we get into redeemed from sickness. But I want you to see something here, because the truth can be, it's carried right over into this idea of redeemed from poverty. Now, he took your punishment. Now, the Apostle Paul had an interesting background. He was trained under Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee, okay, meaning he was a stickler for the law. And he went after Christians because he had not the revelation that the Christians were a part of God's family. So he didn't have that revelation. That came to him on the Damascus Road or thereafter. But he didn't have that. Now, what he did is he was hauling Christians off to jail, of course, because by consent of the Sanhedrin or the religious leaders. And he was bringing them in because they were of the way. They were not following the Jewish tradition. And they were causing what he felt disturbances. Paul really was a terrorist. And so as he was bringing them in and so forth, hauling them off the jail, it said. So I could just imagine in my mind him going, knocking on somebody's door, because he had a lot of people with him, and knocking on the door and then grabbing them, and they were maybe in prayer or something. He'd grab them and haul them out, and their kids were crying, Mama, Mama, don't go, and so forth. But he'd haul them back. Now, all that was on his mind when he got saved, because your mind didn't get saved. So I'm just saying, when you got saved, all that you did was still on your mind. And what it's designed to do, the enemy tries to use it to bring condemnation. Now, condemnation destroys your initiative, meaning that you don't move forward, you don't think of new ideas, you're just hopeless. Condemnation destroys faith, so you can't receive from God. I believe I receive. I believe I, and you, same place you were 3 years ago. I believe I receive. Condemnation is a thing that makes it so that you and God are not close. You can talk about God, but you can't really talk to God, because condemnation separates you. It's a sin consciousness. It's what I did in my past. It's on my mind. Now, understand, the enemy is the accuser of the brethren, so he makes sure it stays on your mind. So if you just forget it a little bit, he'll bring a relative to you to remind you of it. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, for us trying to get rid of it because we don't understand how to appropriate faith and the word and the blood of Jesus, because that is designed to cleanse us, then what we do is try to get rid of it ourselves. See? Turn over to Hebrews real quick, Hebrews chapter 9. Let me know when you get there. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. I'll start there. You can read all of that. The whole chapter is very good. You should include it in tomorrow morning's reading. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your what? Conscience from what? Dead works to serve who? The living God. So you see people doing all the things. Oh, people even go to church to try to get their conscience, to try to turn that alarm off of what they did years ago. Some people even go into the ministry. God never called them into the ministry. Some people even give money. Some people even call it penance. Some people even lacerate themselves. Some people even go into bad situations. In other words, subconsciously, the subconscious mind is leading them to a place where they have peace. And for people to have peace, what they have to do is they have to turn that alarm off, because that alarm is still saying that, hey, wait a second, something's been done wrong and justice must be satisfied. And so that alarm is still going off. So they end up, in the military, we used to call it shooting yourself in the foot, making mistakes that will cause you grief, because hopefully that would pay for what you did in the past. Sure. How many people got sick because the sickness was a response to the guilt of what they did? You better hear what I'm saying. How many people cannot get out of the financial situation that they're in because they're trying to satisfy the guilt of the past? And if they can just put themselves through more difficult enough situations, maybe that would pay for what they did. You better hear what I'm saying now. And subconsciously, your mind will do this, because it'll try to lead you into a place to take that alarm, get that alarm off. It's trying to bring peace in your system, because your system is in disharmony or diseased. Dis-ease. And it's trying to find peace. And be surprised, just about every false religion has been started because of sin consciousness. And some of them even blow themselves up. Now, I'm here to tell you, you have to look at your life and say, wait a second now, ho. See? And because people don't have a clear picture of who God is and a clear picture of who they are, then they subject themselves to things and go through things because subconsciously they're trying to punish themselves to pay for what they did in the past. Now, the Apostle Paul came up with something. Now, notice what he says here. Purge your conscience from dead works. The blood of Jesus is designed to purge your conscience from every guilt. See, it's no good if you get saved and you're still guilty. That's no good. But you got to appropriate the blood by faith to get that guilt out. Because the guilt is at a lower level than your flesh. See? Look at Romans chapter 8, please. Oh, I'm preaching good. I know it. Romans chapter 8. Be surprised how many people cannot even hear God because the guilt is still, that alarm is still so loud that they can't hear. Here's God trying to bless them beyond measure. And they're trying to come in church service so that they can feel better about themselves. I mean, it's true enough, you're supposed to get together in fellowship with believers, but I'm saying don't let it be a response purely to condemnation. You know, God doesn't condemn us. He convicts us. And conviction and condemnation are two different things. One of them's from the devil and one of them's from God. Now, the devil wields condemnation because that's the way he keeps control over people. Fear, mainly, and condemnation. Look at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. Underline no. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, I understand all that came after verse chapter 7. Who shall set me free? A real freedom is when you got freedom in your mind. You'd be surprised how many bad decisions are made purely because of guilt. So we got to get rid of that, because if you have that still left in your life and the enemy tries, God blesses you, the enemy will try to come in and use that to build his kingdom, because he'll use your distorted picture. Condemnation never has a clear picture of God. He'll use that distorted picture. So this is a very, very key thing that you get rid of it. And look over here in Isaiah, if you will. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Look at what it says in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25. Have you got it? Say, praise the Lord. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Now, who's that talking? God. See, he's prophesying about the new covenant, about the new, the church coming. He said, I'm going to blot out your sins. I won't even remember. Now, what he can forget, you can forget. And notice in the Old Testament, they couldn't forget it. They could atone for it or cover for it, and God will continue his blessings toward them, but they couldn't forget it. There was no facility to forget it. The blood of bulls and goats was not powerful enough to make them to purge their conscience. It wasn't powerful enough. And so this, you know, if you get something like that, you just can't read it one time. You got to meditate the thing. You got what I'm saying? So faith will be there to receive it. Now, look at Isaiah chapter 53 again. And Isaiah chapter 53, now let me read that again. Well, watch what it says. Verse 1. Verse 4, pardon me. Surely he hath borne our what? grief, sickness, and diseases, and carried our what? Sorrows, pain, and what? Punishment. Okay? He's carried our punishment. Now, who carried our punishment?
Jesus.
Come on, who carried our punishment?
Jesus.
Jesus carried our punishment. So, do you need to punish yourself?
Nope.
Who carried your punishment?
Jesus.
Now, he took your punishment. The stuff that you did, when you confess it, he carried your punishment. Now, what did you do? Well, I've been married 5 times. Well, that's just 4 silly, dumb mistakes you made. Now, Jesus carried your punishment for doing dumb stuff. And what you need to do is receive what he did. Because if you don't receive what he did, you can't be free. Now, you hear what I'm saying now? Now, that's all of us. I mean, we need to get rid of this. That's why people, now time the feelings be on the fingertips. I mean, hey, you know, when I correct you or correct somebody, so forth and so on, I'm not trying to degrade you. I'm not trying so forth and so on. I'm speaking out of a spirit of trying to correct and make it so that we can all learn by it and grow with it. But when a person's condemned, see, they everything's wrong. You know, they're trying to look what he's trying to do to me. Ain't nobody trying to do nothing to you. What I'm trying to do is do what I need to do. Praise God. Are you following what I'm saying? Or if some things that I do. So I'm just saying. See, the first thing I had to do is I had to get rid of some of the guilt in my life. Because I had to make sure that I'm going into the ministry based on God's call and not on my guilt. Say amen to that. So I'm just saying that because we got to straighten up, saints, and just fly right. Because we don't have much time here. We got to finish what God's called us to do. Say amen to that. So here, I love everybody. And I don't know how to tell you I love you except to correct you. Say amen to this. All right, praise God. Now, what did Judas do to himself? What did Judas, you ain't but one Judas, you know. What did Judas do to himself? He hung himself. He hung himself. So what did condemnation drive him to do? Commit suicide. You hear what I'm saying? Now, when Peter went against God or Jesus, what did he do? Y'all remember what he did when he said, I don't know him? Okay, he went and cried. Sure, he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. But he didn't kill himself. You'd be surprised how many people let sickness come into their life and come into their body and almost wipe them out because inside they're trying to make an adjustment with God. They're trying to pay for something. That stuff been paid for. It's every bit of it's been paid for. Every time you miss it, it's an eternal sacrifice that Jesus made. That means for all nations, for all times, he has paid the price. And if they'll take the blood and apply that blood to Gekebashat and apply that blood to their lives, that guilt and condemnation will leave their mind. They can think free for the first time in their life. Now you read that scripture in Isaiah 53 till you get that. He has borne my sickness, diseases, and took my pain and punishment. Now, he took my punishment. Now, I don't need to punish myself or let Satan punish me because Jesus took my punishment. And God will not have a person pay for the same thing twice. That's the law. So God cannot be doing it. Whew, glory to God. I hope I got that out. Now, if you just get in the Old Testament and go by the letter will kill you. Without the Spirit, it'll bring you right down to nothing. You got to apply the Spirit with it. Now, so, praise God. Man, I'm telling you, how long did that take? But y'all got it, right? Amen. And that's what I want you to get. Just get the principles here. Because if you do, I can take you with me. If you don't, you'll be a drag. You'll have to stay in the wilderness. Amen. Now, you know, in the wilderness, they saw themselves as what? Grasshoppers, see? And then they saw God as leading them out there trying to kill them. Notice, condemnation brought a distorted picture of God and of themselves. And it'll do it for you. You'll read the same scripture I read and get something totally different. I say, well, now, Lord, how did you get that out of that? Well, I got it out of it because I'm reading through the glasses of condemnation. That's how I got it. All right. Now, let's do something. Let's go into 2 Corinthians chapter 8, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I believe I got somewhere right there. I'm praise God. All right, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say grace.
Grace.
That ain't something you say over your food. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be what?
Rich.
To be rich is the will of God. Okay? Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 13, please. Genesis chapter, now believe me, that might sound like it was nothing to you, but right there just made a demon cry. Just me getting that out right there just made some demons just weep. All right? Because they want to keep you poor and keep you without knowledge of this. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 13, verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. All right? Now, notice it says very rich. The Amplified translation is a closer definition to it. It said extremely rich. If you haven't put it in your Bible, you need to put it in there by now. Extremely rich. So not only does God want you rich, but he said that he wants you blessed with blessed Abraham. Just as he had blessed Abraham, he wants to bless you. Now, how did he bless Abraham over here in this scripture? He was extremely rich. He was extremely rich. Now notice, God made him that way. All right? Now, what God does not want is Genesis chapter 14 and verse 23. That I will not take a thread, even a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest you say, I made Abraham rich. What God does not want is the world to make you rich. Got it? He wants you extremely rich, but he doesn't want the world to do it. Now, all you got to do is go through your scriptures and look at all the places that God made him rich. Let's go to Genesis chapter 26, because we are almost there anyway. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 26 and verse 1. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went into Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, don't go down to Egypt. In other words, don't go to Egypt. And he said, dwell in this land that I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to what? Bless you. I'm going to make you rich. Verse 12, then Isaac sold where? In that land. And received in the same year what? 100-fold. And who blessed him? The Lord blessed him. He doesn't want anybody else to bless you. He wants to be the author and finisher of your faith. He wants to be the one that gets the credit when you get on top. He wants to be the one. Turn on over to 1 Corinthians, please, in chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Glory to God in heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Glory to Jesus. Oh, Lord. Are you with me? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look what it says in verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things in the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught what? The things that are. Why? So no flesh will get the credit. God will choose on purpose a person who doesn't have much education and put them on top so that no flesh can come in and say, my degree got me this. You better hear what I'm telling you. See, the moment you get this, then you'll see why God leads you into a place that you can't in your own strength master. He does that on purpose because that triggers the blessing of Abraham. You see, as long as you can do it for yourself, you're violating the conditions by which God wants to bless you. And what we are doing is we're trying to find the safest, most comfortable place in the world and sit there. Not with God. God's going to lead you into a place that is uncomfortable. And he's going to lead you there so that no flesh will be able to say, I did this. I'm a self-made man. Glory to God in heaven. Boy, I just went through the Bible and started looking at all the places. He didn't have to leave the children of Israel and Moses to that Red Sea. He could have led them another way. He led them right to a place that they couldn't even get out of, didn't he? And look what happened to the Red Sea. What happened to it? It split open. Then he led them into the wilderness. There wasn't no Kmart nor Taco Bells in that wilderness. Yet he fed them every day on time. Glory to God. Can't you see what I'm saying here? We got to get back to the God of the Bible. Now, some of you, this doesn't mean much to you. Because you just trying to get rid of condemnation. You just in there and say, well, praise the Lord, I went to church. I even went to early church. Yeah, you ain't going nowhere. Not like that. Okay, but I ain't talking to you. I'm talking to folks here that's ready to go somewhere. All right, now. So God wants us to depend totally on him. Right? He said, even when you get ready to prophesy, just open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. Amen to that. All right. Now, we talked about mystery Babylon. Mystery means something beyond human comprehension. So Satan's got a system out here working. And what he's trying to do is trying to keep us programmed to trust in that system. Now you can see why God says sow and reap. Because when you do sow, who do you have to count on to get it back to you? Got to count on God. And that's what people don't want. They don't want God to do that. He went to that rich young ruler, asked, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You know he was desperate because he threw himself down at Jesus' knees. And Jesus told him, go give something. He said, well, I can't do that. Praise God. You know why? Because he didn't trust God. Oh, he knew all the scriptures all right. But he didn't trust the one that he was reading about. And so what Satan does is mainly he programs you with fear. And fear is designed to contain and control you by bringing pressure on you in your circumstances. Now, Jesus has dealt with the problem. So all Satan's got, Satan doesn't have any more problems to bring to you. Only thing he's got now is pressure. So he'll try to bring pressure on you to guide you into a certain decision. So he'll bring that pressure. So see, Satan's defeated. So what he's trying to do, put enough pressure on you on payday to make you go to the payday store. Okay? All right? Now, when fear is gone, believing God is the easiest thing you could ever do. I'll read it again. When fear is gone, believing God is the easiest thing that you can ever do in life. When fear is gone, you are having a tough time believing God because you're mixing it with fear. But if you can get rid of fear, believing God is the easiest thing that can ever be done in your life. I'm going to read that one more time. When fear is gone, believing God is the easiest thing that can ever be done in your life. You are only having trouble believing God because fear is controlling your mind. The only reason you're having trouble, don't try to complicate it. It's just that simple. Okay? Fear will have you not in your right mind. That's why it says God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of what? Power and of love. Keep going. And a sound mind. Fear will make you spend money on yourself when you need to get your kids some clothes. Fear will make you leave a baby in a car and it's 105 degrees in that car. Not you now. I know it won't happen to you. But fear will cause you not to pay your tithes. See, because it puts pressure on you to control your thinking. That's what fear does. When you find yourself not paying your tithes, it's because fear has controlled you. It has taken over. Because you know what to do. You know what to do. But fear is making up your mind for you. Okay? Now, fear is a demon. So a demon is making up your mind for you. When you refuse to tithe, a demon has control of your life. I'm talking about the people who know about it. Okay? Now, you can make something out of that if you want to, but I'm going to leave it right there. All right, now God wants us to have abundance. Say abundance. God is an abundant God. He's a God of too much. Say too much. All right, when he talks about the hundredfold, somebody said, well, you mean if I sold $500, I can get a hundredfold back off of that? How much is a hundredfold after $500? Yeah, all right, praise the Lord. 500, and I add two more zeros. What's that? Okay. All right. So I can get 50,000 back. They say, whoa, Lord, that's a whole lot. Well, God is an abundant God. Now, that won't happen if you don't have the word for a hundredfold in there, because the word's got to be first. Now, what is God after? He's after making heaven, he's after making earth in your life like heaven. Okay? He's after making earth in your life just like heaven. So how is it in heaven? There's gold on the streets. Do you know that in the garden before Adam sinned, gold was laying up on the ground? That's before he sinned. The curse took everything, made it hard. Okay? All right. Now, so the enemy wants to keep you in the system that he's got for you, and he wants to keep you working for a living, and he wants to make it so that you are fearful of leaving his system. All right? And that system works night and day to try to keep people locked into it. All right, let's go, if you will, to Ecclesiastes. No, let's go to two places. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, but let's go over to Genesis chapter 28. Come on, I'm going to try to finish this. Genesis chapter 28. Woo, I got 3 minutes to do it. Praise the Lord. This is going to have to be a miracle. Genesis chapter 28. Let me know when you get there. Amen. All right, in Genesis chapter 28. Now, law, say law of abundance.
Law of abundance.
Say law of abundance.
Law of abundance.
I told you to turn to Genesis 28, didn't I?
Yes.
Can I just show you a scripture that gives you a picture of redemption so you can see it for yourself? Let's go to Psalms chapter 105. Psalms 105. Psalms 105. Let me know when you get there. Come on. Look at verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. And there was not one sick, feeble, infirm person among the tribes. Now, how many people got healed?
All of them.
How many people were made rich?
All.
He had a million, he had 3 million millionaires. Why can't he do the same thing in this church? Now realize that what he has done, you don't have to work for what he's done. What you have to do is believe for what he's done. Because up there in that spiritual level, you can't work for it. You got to believe for it. Your labor is in the Word of God. And you can't get a hundredfold on a natural level. You got to believe for that. Are you following what I'm saying? So what we have to do is we have to start believing God for some things and stop yielding to this system. I mean, I sold that $5,000 this morning, but I sold that $5,000 because I sold it. My wife and I said, hey, we want to believe God for this, so we're going to sow a seed for it. We didn't go to the systems of the world. We sowed for it. Why? Because God wants to give it to us. All right? So notice that was everybody was a millionaire. Everybody's a millionaire. If you take the money that's in the earth today and just divided it up, everybody can be a millionaire. In the earth. But what's happening? Greed. People who have no integrity and so forth, they're using it all for themselves. And what God wants to do is take it out of their hands, put it into your hands so you can take care of the poor. There's not supposed to be no government welfare system. You're supposed to be the system. You're supposed to be providing that which people need so that they can make it through hard times. Because we're the body of Christ. We're supposed to be the wealthiest people in the world. And the enemy has worked to try to keep us broke. And most Christians are broke. But we're coming out of that. I say we're coming out of that. All right, look at Genesis chapter 28. Let me know when you get there. Verse 20. Now, this is Jacob now. He's receiving the blessing of Abraham on him. Verse 20, and Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in the way that I go, I will and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee what? Tenth to thee. What is the tenth, somebody? It's a tithe. So Jacob vowed to tithe. But let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. All right, let me know when you get to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. All right, look at verses 1 and 2. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with your mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be what? Few. All right, now he's saying, watch your mouth. Look at verse 4. When thou vowest a vow to God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay it. You got what I'm saying? Because when you do vow and don't pay it, there can be serious consequences. Why? Because you've just drawn God into the legal. Now you got to see this because, see, mainly the vow is over there in the Old Testament. Paul used it one time. Not Paul, but some people vowed. They vowed, they shaved their head and they vowed, hey, you know, we're going to go eat until we kill him. But a vow, it says you'd rather not vow. But what we do now is we make a faith promise. Got it? Now let me show you a man that vowed and shouldn't have vowed nothing. Look at Judges chapter 11, please. Judges chapter 11. All right, in Judges chapter 11, yes. What am I doing here? Oh, okay, verse 30. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Underline it. Well, God gave him the battle, because when you vow, you go into your future, and God brings something out of your future, can't be changed, and he brings it into the now and credits you with it as your promise to him, so, and he delivers on your behalf. In other words, when you vow a vow, then God gives you something on credit. He moves first. In faith, you move first. And, well, great, God has already moved, but in faith, you move first, and then God does something. With a vow, he moves first. But it's mainly in the Old Testament. Look at verse 34. Then Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter, and it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, oh, Lord, my daughter. What had he done? He had vowed that the first one out of the door of his house will be offered up for a sacrifice. What do you think he had to do? She asked him, said, Dad, after he told her what he had done, she said, let me just go visit the relatives for 3 months. I'll be back, and you can kill me there. Lord have mercy. Careful of a vow. Serious consequences, because you've just gone into your future, and God has moved first on credit. Oh, he'll move, but it's all legal now. And when it's legal like that, he came back out. Sacrifice of fools, it called. Watch your mouth. Don't be so quick. Make a faith promise. Watch the word vow. Now, I'm saying you've seen it on television, but vow is a very, very serious thing, because you got to deliver. Now, Paul says something. He said, Lord, say, God forgave me because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. I believe that as people in here, if you've had a vow in your life that you vowed, and there's something still hanging over your head, and that's why you can't prosper. Because every time money comes in, it's snatched away because of the consequences of that vow. I believe that we can take 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins, he's going to be faithful to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, because you did it ignorantly and in unbelief. Repeat after me, Father, in the name of Jesus, what I did in my past and uttered with my mouth, foolishly, I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. I didn't know what I know now. Now here's what you said. You're still talking. Here's what you said, Father. that if I confess my sins,
you're faithful to forgive me
and cleanse me
of all unrighteousness.
Father,
I confess
that I have spoken foolishly.
I have uttered things
that I really didn't know the consequences
of.
I'm asking you now
to forgive me.
You gave the blood of Jesus
so that it could cleanse me.
I believe right now,
as I ask your forgiveness,
that you'll grant me mercy
and forgive me
of what I've done.
Now I ask,
by faith,
you forgive me
for any foolish vows
that I have made.
And by faith,
I believe
I receive
forgiveness
and cleansing
right now.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.
Praise God.
I believe one of the reasons why God called me into the ministry is to deliver people that have been held in bondage because of whatever. That's the anointing that's on my life. If you're here today and God has spoken to your heart about being born again, God has been speaking to you during this message, I want to do something. I want to pray for you the prayer of faith that you will accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and that you leave this place a brand new person. Now, I understand every one of us had to come this way because Jesus said, no one can come to the Father except by me. Amen. If you're here today and you know that I'm talking to you, I'm not asking you to join the church. You can make that decision today, or you can make it as the Lord gives it to you. The main thing I want to do today is get you hooked back up with God. So if you're here now, you know that you're outside of God, His family, and His will. And you're ready to come home. You're ready to come and give your life to Jesus and let Him direct you from now on out. I want to pray with you right now. Now, this is all it takes. It just takes a step of faith. Here's what I want you to do. Right in front of all these people, because Jesus said, confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. So if you're here and you know that's you I'm talking to, let me pray for you right now. Take a step of faith for me. Get up out of your chair. Come up here to the altar and stand with me right now. Come right on. Stand right here. Come right on. Don't be ashamed of it. Come just like you are. Come on. Somebody else over here. Don't be ashamed of it. Come just like you are. Come on. This is your day. The day of your salvation. The day of your release. Praise God in heaven. Is there one more would like to come? All right. I'm going to pray for our sister here. If there's anybody else you want to come, come while I'm praying for her so that God can bring you into His glory and into His kingdom right now, in Jesus' name. Lift your right hand up to heaven for me, please. Repeat after me. Dear Lord, I come to you now just as I am. You know my life. You know how I've lived. Forgive me, Lord. I repent of my sins. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for my sins. And on the third day, He was raised from the dead. Lord Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart. Live your life in me and through me from now on. From this day forward, I belong to you. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Now, you can put your hands down. Now, is there anybody else who said that prayer in your chair? Because we're going to take them in the room here and give them some instructions, and we want to take you with us. If there's anybody else and you said that prayer in your chair, come on, help me shame the devil. Get up out of your chair. Come up here to the altar right now and say it with me. Anybody else that said, I'm led to ask that because something tells me somebody else said that prayer. Praise God. Hey, glory to God. Wonderful, wonderful. Amen. All right. We have our minister, and his hand is up here. He's going to take you in a room right outside this auditorium, give you some instructions. Here's the only thing I want you to do. Follow the instructions that he gives you. Same instructions I followed, they followed, and the people in the first church that ever got started, same instructions. Now, the people that you came with, they'll wait on you till you get done. But this is going to be truly the first day of the rest of your life. God bless you. Turn to your right. Follow him.
Backslide.
Amen. Follow him. Amen. If there are any more backsliders in the house, I want you to come up too and just follow them. Praise God. Amen. Woo. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Come on up. Anybody else? All right. Did y'all get something out of this message here today? Praise God. Touch somebody's hand. It's touch and agree. Father, thank you so much for the word. Thank you for the anointing that's in this house. Thank you for burdens being removed and yokes being destroyed. Thank you that you have already made us very rich. Not so that we could just take it and put it up like the unrighteous do, but that we can take care of the nations of the earth. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet three or four people around you. Tell them Jesus loves you, and so do I.